Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. Damn, Seth, I've been infected by your day confusion here. It's Wednesday today. It's Wednesday. This Thursday night game, man, it messes with
you. You're forgetting to turn on your mic and everything. It's contagious.
I didn't forget to turn my mic on.
I think you did.
The Yankees game last night against the Dodgers. Probably the most memorable moment from that game.
Hmm.
The Yankees staving off elimination was not the most memorable moment. None of the home runs that were hit in the game were particularly memorable because the final score was 8-4. There wasn't even really like a pitching performance for the Dodgers you could look at because they were bullpen gaming the whole thing. The most memorable moment was when two fans were ejected after trying to pry a foul ball out of the glove of Mookie Betts in the first inning of that game. Gleyber Torres hits a pop-up down the right field line, and Mookie Betts jumps up, catches the ball, hand in the crowd, which is, that's a catch, it's an out. And as he's coming down back to the ground, Austin Capobianco, a Aaron Judge gray jersey-wearing Yankee fan, grabbed Betts' glove with both hands and tried to pull the ball out. Meanwhile, Capobianco's friend sitting to his left, John Peter is his name, he was sitting there facing Betts' bare hand, and he decides to grab that arm. So the two of them, for a moment at least, had Mookie Betts held by his two arms dangling over the wall. And Capobianco is trying to he's trying to rake the ball out of the glove, and he's almost ripping the glove off of Mookie Betts' hands. And you watch it, looks dangerous. Like Mookie Betts definitely could have gotten injured on this thing. Like fans grabbing his arms, literally.
Yeah, no, and those guys were just delighting in it and thought they were just having a grand old time. It was
This is part of the game, right? We're allowed to do this.
So Cappuccino there is probably banned for life from any MLB games, I would imagine. Certainly at Yankee Stadium, right? That's at the very least.
I had heard this morning they're season ticket holders. I hadn't heard anything about them not being let back in for tonight's game.
Oh, there's no way in hell. Really? I have your typical Yankees, the dirtbag humans. So, obviously, and then trying to take a cue from their team and trying to cheat in the World Series. So, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me.
Here we go. I'm looking at the article. Capobianco and Peter were escorted out of Yankee Stadium, but said they were told they would be allowed back for Game 5 on Wednesday.
Classic. Yeah, they'll be throwing beer bottles at Dodgers fans in the bathroom. The way they treat opposing fans and or players.
How do you let these guys back in? Like, they got to be banned for it needs to be one of those bannings for life from baseball where you can reapply, you know? That's what it needs to be.
Right, it has to be a commissioner's edict at some point. Brian Cashman was reached for comment after the game.
What did he say?
He said, well, you know, everybody wants to focus on those fans, but they forget that the Astros cheated us in 2000, that we really should have made it to the World Series before now. Really, this is an Astros issue, my baseball team collapsing in the playoffs yet again issue.
Yeah.
Cappuccino's brother said this. His brother wasn't the one. I thought at first that this was the guy that was tearing at the glove, but he was sitting with them because he said, I just see the ball kind of, I don't want to say go up for grabs, if that makes sense. And then Mookie was swearing at us. Not good. That's an actual quote.
The funny part, that's a real quote. The funny part was definitely the two guys grabbing at Mookie, and there may have been others as well. Like, you could read their body language. Like, there were security people and umpires over there, and they were doing the thing where they're running their hand, like, as if, like, Mookie broke the plane of some boundary that he's not allowed in. You know what I mean? Like, almost as if they were saying, like, hey, his glove was in here, you know? Everything's fair game, you know?
Ever that, you can wrestle the ball out of a guy's glove and try to reenact it. Yeah, yeah.
Capobianco.
Those guys, and those are just some sicko weirdos that probably paid $18,000 hoping that they could catch a waft of Aaron Judge's armpits
there
in right field or something. You know, they just some sick sick weirdos.
Yeah, it says Capobianco, a season ticket holder, said he knew he would be in trouble but chose to grab an open bets glove nonetheless, telling ESPN that he and Peter often discuss this exact scenario.
It's premeditated.
If a foul ball comes their way, they're going to do what they can to help their team.
Oh, it's premeditated. You can't let them back in. But no, how does he think he's helping the team out? He already gained possession of the ball. He'd made a football move.
That was
a catch. Damn it.
Yeah, well, they called it. Well, it was out because of fan interference. But yeah, they ultimately did strip the ball out of there. But yeah,
they stripped it out, but it wasn't. It was a catch. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was in his glove. Yeah, it was in his glove. Yeah. If they just let him, let gravity do its thing and take him back down to the ground, the ball would have
been in Mookie's
glove.
It wasn't like when Volpe stole second and was tagged out, but the shortstop dropped it. Was that Betts too? No.
Capobianco told ESPN, "I know when I'm in the wrong, and as soon as I did it, I was like, boys, I'm out of here." Okay, well, at least he knew he messed up.
Yeah, but it was like a mobster, which I'm guessing this guy is.
Dude,
it's like
Capobianco,
knowing that he's doing wrong, but then but he knows he's doing wrong. It was premeditated. He admitted to it. That's how I know he's not in the mafia. He never would have made a mistake like that. No mafioso is going to be like, "Yeah, I knew what I was doing. I planned it out meticulously."
Right. Capobianco. How was there not a Sopranos character with the last name Capobianco? That's a great Italian last name.
Looked like such a New Yorker. And I know he's from Connecticut, but he's not far away, I'm guessing.
No.
Right across the river.
Yeah. We'll see.
So we have to wait another day for the Yankees to collapse in the World Series.
Just tonight, The game's tonight. If they win tonight, it'll be uncharted territory for a team that's fallen behind 3-0 in the World Series. No team that's ever fallen behind 3-0 in the World Series has made it to a Game 6.
Yeah, the last time they even made it to a Game 4 was 1970, I believe. So yeah, no, that was not right. Anyway. Yeah, it's very, very rare.
Exciting stats.
They're not going to win. And I looked this up before the show, and then I realized mathematically it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Are you...
I'm allowed to cite stats. I'm not allowed to look up stats in the middle of a segment.
Oh, got you. Okay, got you.
Yeah.
Are you rooting for a particular side in this at this point between these two, or do you just want it over with, this World Series?
I feel dirty. I guess it's almost like an election where you might not feel good about either candidate and you have to hold your nose and vote. I would say if I had to hold my nose and vote, I just want the Yankees to lose.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had said before the LCSs, when the Mets and the Guardians were still in our lives, that I just, anybody but the Dodgers, because of how the Dodgers fans handle things and whatnot with the sign stealing and everything. Plus, their only title is a COVID title, so we can still hold their one title with an asterisk over their head. They don't have a non-asterisk title. So I was rooting for anything but the Dodgers. And then going into last night, I'm like, okay, well, if the Dodgers are going to win and the Yankees are going to lose, then I'd rather it be a sweep. So at least one of these teams is supremely embarrassed by the whole thing. So I was a Dodger fan last night, and now this Capobianco character, I think I am rooting for the... God, I hate this. No, I just want it to be over. I take it all back. I want it to get canceled.
Dodgers. Flop allegiance. Or maybe put some money on them or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever it is you do in your twisted little world.
Yeah.
I didn't check Judge's numbers last night.
He was probably okay. They scored 11 runs. That would be funny if they scored 11 runs and he was like 0 for 5.
He was, he was 1 for 3.
1 for 3.
So, 1 for 3.
With
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, it was 1 for 3 with a walk. I'm looking at it right
Okay, gotcha.
Yep. All right, so.
I see what I did? I looked up a stat and it was right, but we can't trust me, so. Yeah. Can't be trusted.
Nope. So the Jets and the Texans, and I think the Jets are still a 2-point favorite now that I'm looking here. I think the big reason they're a 2-point favorite, one, it's banged up Texans, banged up in the receiving core, and the name value, the name brand of a lot of these guys. Like, you look at the Jets roster, and there are a lot of names on there where you're like, okay, how the hell is this team 2-6 right now with all these guys that they have? The fact of the matter is, and Reggie Atatula sent me this article yesterday, so I'm probably stealing from something they may use in their show. But there, and I'll cite the article as soon as the link on my Google Doc works. Their big names are not playing well this year.
Right.
Their big name, like Sauce Gardner, is having, by his standards, a bad season this year right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's missing a boatload of tackles. Sauce Gardner is a guy who's very handsy when it comes to covering, but not necessarily an appetite for the physical part of the game elsewhere. And maybe this Jets defense not playing the way that they had in the past. Maybe he's just got more opportunities to miss tackles.
He's got some outstanding sizzle reel stuff going with his missed tackles this year. Like that, they're 2-6. That's what's cool when a team is 2-6 and their good guys are doing things like Sauce is. Is it even their fans are piling on? It's not opposing.
Did you see
fans.
A compilation of Sauce Gardner missed tackles?
I haven't seen a compilation, but I've seen a lot of people with singular videos of like. I guess Sauce may have taken up golf in the offseason or something.
Yeah.
And that's getting a lot of run. Like, boy, he sure does tackle like somebody who took up golf in the offseason.
Seventh worst missed tackle rate in the league, Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad right now. And so Sauce Gardner not having a great year. I found the article. It is on JetsXFactor.com. Michael Nanya has this article. 5 inexplicable Jets dips in performance. So Sauce has been bad. Breece Hall, yards after contact, down by about a half a yard. Speed is a little slower. So Breece Hall, like these are guys they were leaning on. We'll get to Aaron Rodgers in a second. But Sauce Gardner, Breece Hall so far, they're guys both drafted in 2022.
Yeah. And this is where I don't fear this being a trap game. The Texans... For one, have the recent memory of going up to New York and playing really, really poorly against Zach Wilson and C.J. Stroud getting concussed. Like a lot of bad things. So there's that. There's the geographic retribution. Mm-hmm. You have to go earn your stripes in East Rutherford, New Jersey. But then also the names. You know, you look at this team that everything's going wrong for the Jets, and yet I don't think anybody on the Texans roster is looking at Sauce Gardner and thinking like, yeah, he's not the guy he used to be. It's still Sauce freaking Gardner.
Yeah.
Breece Hall, still a running back that you have to take very, very seriously. So but you also, you know, as a fan, the Texans can't. These guys are bums. you can't let these guys who have been playing like bums all of a sudden have a resurgence versus you.
I think the thing that makes me feel best in looking at this game, other than the coaching matchup, which we can talk about again in a minute, the version of Aaron Rodgers that you're getting is super jittery, super indecisive, seems like a beaten man kind of right now. And the strength of this Texans team is the pass rush. And Aaron Rodgers ain't what he used to be when it comes to escapability.
Well, you know, and I thought when that Patriots defensive lineman talked about how Aaron Rodgers doesn't look like the same guy, even he can chase him down, which Aaron Rodgers made a funny comment about yesterday. He said he wants to get that, what's his name, Godshow?
Davon Godshow, yeah.
He said something like, I got to get back up to that Davon Godshow speed. So he poked fun at himself about it. I immediately thought of, wow, you know, Will Anderson tracked down Anthony Richardson from behind in the game. I think Anthony Richardson does have that Davon Godshow speed. So... that part of it, the Texans pass rush really these last couple weeks really starting to kick it into high gear. I feel good about that part of it. I don't think that this is the week that all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers looks like the old dashing, making magnificent throws outside the pocket or running for yardage comes back.
Well, and Tyron Smith is bad, and that factors into all this as well. They're, you know, the left tackle, you know, former Cowboy. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, but he sure did make a lot of Pro Bowls when he was with the Cowboys. He's already allowed 22 QB pressures this year, which is he's allowed double the pressure rate than he was a year ago. Like he's old and he's not good right now. I think Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, if we're talking about who's going to get attention on the national stage, because the Texans have still only been on primetime once this year. It was the Bears game in week two. If we're talking about guys on the Texans that could make an early statement here with 3 primetime games coming up, I think it's Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. I think the pass rush tomorrow night is going to have a big night.
You know what? I mean, honestly, Will Anderson's got a little bit of retribution for Morgan Moses because Morgan Moses was with the Ravens last year and did a pretty good job against Will Anderson. I mean, Will kind of joked that poked fun at himself in the offseason about his performance in that game and how it needs to be better. But Morgan Moses, the really amazing thing about Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith being the bookend tackles is that between the two of them, they've only missed two games, where both those guys have had a lot of injury issues in recent years. So that's kind of a, that's an accident waiting to happen at some point. But I do, like, again, just to hit that, I don't fear one bit that the Texans are not going to come out there on fire.
Yeah.
I think that defensively and offensively, they still have a chip on their shoulder and they feel like they've got a lot to prove.
Yeah, I like that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. If you want to hit us on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Text message, I know the Pettycast is Tuesday, but love to point out that Aaron Judge now has as many World Series hits as Zach Greinke and as many RBIs as Lance McCullers.
in this postseason, Aaron Rodgers is batting 152.
Aaron Judge.
I almost got
two
it.
Two Aarons, both New Yorkers. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a hit in this World Series, though, Sean.
That's true.
So that's true. Aaron Judge is hitting 152 with an OPS of 609.
In the postseason this year?
In the postseason,
I'll be honest, 609 feels a little high.
Probably, I think it might be better than he was last year in the postseason.
I think you're right.
I think he ended up with a 139 batting average.
Well, they weren't they weren't in the postseason last year.
2 years ago, 2022.
That was the year they got swept by the Astros. that stat matches the eye test right there.
Yeah.